Blog Talk Radio.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what. Got money on my mind, I can never get enough. And every time I step up in the building, everybody hands go up. And they stay there, and they say yeah, and they stay there.
Cause all I do is win, all I do is win. Cause I'm a fucking winner. That's what I do, is I win.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Jake Thompson Show. I love that theme. We are back from vacation. I missed everyone. I know everybody missed me. We're very excited. I see that our guest did call. I was worried there for a second. So we go on. The show must go on. We'll go on like planned. First of all, welcome back, Jen. How was your vacation?
It's been great. I mean, everyone's sleeping in. We have a new puppy, and I drank on New Year's, which I never do, and took some selfies. And went to the dentist. I mean, it's a nightmare. So that was my time off.
When you get drunk and take selfies, I imagine those are nude?
Well, I definitely would never show body parts anymore. But I did take some. I have no idea. I was so drunk. Like, I took some going to the bathroom. Nothing, no body parts show. I know, it's so gross.
Did you tweet them out?
Yeah. One's a vine going to the bathroom. Peeing, and then I'm so drunk.
Oh, my God. I'm taking your phone away when you get drunk. I'm going to get you one of them breathalyzer things that drunk people have to get before they drive their car. We have to blow into your phone before it works. All right. Well,
that's
Eli.
That's a good idea.
That is. I invented that, you know. I really did.
Sure.
I'm just too lazy to do anything about it. Eli, how was your trip, man? I got to see you last night when I picked you up at the airport.
Yeah, no, it was okay. I went to Miami, saw a Heat game, saw a Dolphins game, ate a lot of Chinese food with Jewish people. Heard a lot of complaining. The air was too humid, and you know, there's so many bad drivers, and blah blah blah. So it was a fun time.
Yeah, always fun hanging out with a bunch of Jews. Let me tell you, it's like when I go home with my family. Oh, reminds me of that good Jew joke. These two old Jewish ladies are at a restaurant, and the waiter brings out food, and they start eating. And they go, the first Jewish lady goes, this food is terrible. And then the second Jewish lady goes, I know, and such small portions. That's one of my faves. But anyway,
That is so true. They would do it.
That's why it's funny.
All right, Kat, don't fuck with my computer. My cat is in here and trying to this fucking little bitch has been waking me up every morning. So I apologize if I have to yell. Anyway, let's get on the show. I had a great trip, if anyone cares. A great holiday. But
we should have asked about you.
Yeah, no one cares about me. Who cares? It's Christmas. It's a new year. I don't feel like living in the past. I'm a new person. I've made resolutions. I'm awesome now. We're going to move forward. I want to get right into my guest because I haven't been this excited to talk to somebody in a long, long time. Eric Kelly is a fighter, a boxer, an amateur, had a pretty good career going, got in a bar fight. I'll let him tell the story. Got injured and had to quit the fight game and became a trainer, training in New York. And a lot of people have heard about him because they did a video on him that Eli sent me where it's one of the funniest things you've ever seen. He's training these like dorky, nerdy Wall Street guys. And he is just so brutal with them that the video became a sensation, got millions of hits to the point where he met with P. Diddy himself, got an agent, and now he's a successful boxing trainer in the sense that he's got a lot of clientele. None of these guys, if you watch this video, none of these guys we're going to see on Friday Night Fights or ever holding a belt. But I love this guy. I read a couple interviews with him. He's brilliant and funny, and I'm really excited. So I'm just going to bring him on. Forget my Christmas story. Eric, are you there?
I'm here like a motherfucker.
Like a motherfucker. Hey, thank you so much for calling in. I was so scared because I saw that you called 3 hours ago. I was so scared you were going to get mad and not call in.
I'm a little pissed off, but, you know, fuck it. We here.
What happened? Did you think it was... Did we not specify Pacific time, or did you not see the PST?
Look, all I saw was 1 o'clock. So I said, let me call at 1 o'clock. I'm not used to that PS. You know, fuck that. Look, nigga, I'm supposed to call at 1. So I wake up at 1. I ain't wake up at 1. But I call in at 1. I said, okay, it's 1 o'clock. I didn't even pay attention to Pacific time. I didn't even notice that. That's my bad, Tom. I didn't even notice that.
And you did call, so I was a little worried. We were a little panicked. But anyway, now that you're here, let's go back a little bit. I don't know if I missed anything in your bio, but
is that
I'd
Jen?
Like...
Is that Jen with you?
That's Jen.
Yes, it is. Hi, Eric.
Send,
how are you?
How you doing, baby? Send me some of them pictures, some of them new pictures.
You want
all
the bathroom
right, well,
one?
I tend to not cover them up too much. Just look on my timeline.
Okay, because, you know, I mean, shit, take care of me, baby. I mean, goddamn, I'm good, right?
That's what Jake makes me do to all the guests, yes.
That's why all our guests are men.
Perfect, you know, perfect.
Or
you know,
lesbian.
I mean,
all right, hey, so, Eric, you're an amateur boxer, right? You're making your way up.
I used to be a boxer.
Take me back, Eric, so people know where you come from. Take me all the way.
Four-time national champion. I came out the gate pretty hot, 16 years old. 1997, 16 years old. I won my first national title, so that put me at number one in the United States. Went to the World Championships. I lost in the semifinals, so that put me, I think I finished with fourth in the world. That was back in 97. And then 98, I won nationals. 99, I won nationals. 2000, I won nationals. 2001, I took a silver medal at the nationals. I lost to Andre Ward. Then 2002, I fought in the nationals. I won one fight, and then I lost the next fight. And then 2003 was my injury.
Now, take me back even before this. How did you even get into boxing as a kid? You say you're 16,
well,
you're already...
Yeah. My dad was always a fan of boxing and all the athletics. When I was growing up, my dad had a punching bag in his house. You know, I was just a little kid. My dad had a punch, and none of my brothers and no one else fought. I was the only one to fight in my family. But my dad just had a punching bag in the house, and I used to just hit on it. You know, I used to just hit on it, just little 4 or 5 year old kid. You know, and I guess he always watched the fights. I just grew up around it, grew up around having a punching bag in my house, him watching boxing. You know, I loved Sugar Ray Leonard at the time. He's like the best fighter ever to me, Sugar Ray Leonard. And my dad would, you know, go to the gyms and shit, watch everybody practicing in the gyms. So I would just go, and then I just picked it up and started doing it. You know, I took a liking for it. But I owe it all to my dad.
Gotcha. So when we get to your injury, which is obviously an important moment in your life, not necessarily a great one, obviously, but it's an important moment because your life
changed. It's a great one, too. It's a great one. It's a bittersweet. Everything happens for a reason. Every experience in life is a learning experience. Experience is the best teacher. Remember them telling you this. Experience is the best teacher. So no matter what happens in your life, it's a learning experience. You get to learn from it, you know. And it can either make you or break you. And if it breaks you, then you ain't worth living in the first place.
That's right. I absolutely agree with that, actually. What actually happened? I've read a couple different things. It seems like, let me just start you off with this question. The injury was not in the ring, right?
Nah, you wasn't really going to hit me in the ring. I mean, I've been caught, I've been down and shit, but you wasn't going to hit me in the ring enough to do such damage like that, you know what I'm saying? Especially amateur boxer wearing a headgear, you know what
right.
I'm saying? So, like, that's not happening. You know, you couldn't hit with a handful of rice.
So what happened? You got into an altercation in a pool?
Yeah, I was out in Detroit, downtown, Greektown, Detroit, and, I was training at the Chronic Boxing Gym under the tutelage of Emmanuel Stewart. And if you guys don't know, like, Chronic Boxing Gym is like the world's most successful gym of all time. I mean, guys like Tommy Hitman Hearns, Leon Zabarbara, Hill McKenty, Oscar De La Hoya, Vander Holyfield, Julio Cesar Chavez, you know, Prince Nazim Hamed, like, so many legendary fighters, Milton McCrory, Stephen McCrory, so many legendary fighters came from the Crown Boxing Gym, you know what I mean? The Crown Boxing Gym is the be-all of gyms. So I was there training with Emmanuel Stewart, and at the time, I was still amateur. I hadn't turned pro yet because I had got a full scholarship at the United States Olympic Education Center. That's a school in the town of Marquette, Michigan, called Northern Michigan University. And Olympic athletes get a scholarship funded through the Olympic Committee to attend that school and train for the sport simultaneously. So I was up there, but I got kicked out because the director of I was a troublemaker, I won't lie. I'm a kid from Brooklyn, and then I'm going to this rural town in Michigan, nothing but fucking snow and white people. I thought I was in the North Pole. And
would you say troublemaker? I mean, let me understand this. You're young, you're a troublemaker, you're full of piss and vinegar, as they say, but you're also able to handle yourself. You're on a scholarship paid for by the Olympic Committee, so not only are you just, like, all kids are stupid, we're all stupid, especially boys at that age, but you have a higher level of confidence than a lot of us because you know you can handle yourself.
Yeah,
so.
I was extra stupid, you know what I'm saying? I was a special kind of stupid. Like, I wasn't stupid like and get behind the fucking wheel of a car, you know what I'm saying? I was stupid to the point where I'm the number one athlete in the United States. You know, I was ranked number one in the United States. I'm a four-time national champ. I'm a two-time New York City Golden Glove champ. I've been to the point where I was on HBO, Chris Rock show, and all this stuff. And then I got this scholarship to go to fucking college. Full ride. Like, I didn't even pay for the food that I ate because we got a meal card. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Room, board, tuition, everything covered. You know, had to pay for the clothes on my back.
So what kind of troublemaker were you? I mean, you obviously, you're a young buck. You think you're...
Put it like this.
Yeah, I want to know what happened.
Jeff Kleinschmidt was the director of the program of the United States Olympic Education Center. He's the director of the program. His son plays for the football team at Northern Michigan University, the school that I'm attending, right?
Right.
I'm such a troublemaker. I go to a motherfucking party, and boxers and football players always had a beef. It was an ego thing, you know what I'm saying? We're Olympic athletes, like national champions, and those guys are GLIACs. And GLIACs stand for Great Lakes Intercollegiate Athletic Conference, you know what I'm saying? We're Olympic caliber athletes, they're GLIACs. These motherfuckers can't even win homecoming. We're national champions. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like you got the best of the best against the worst of the worst. But the worst of the worst is a little jealous because us boxers are triumphant. You know what I'm saying? We get girls and shit anyway. We was at a party, and Jeff Kleinschmidt's quarterback for the football team. Mm-hmm. I broke his jaw.
No, you broke his jaw. Well, you guys were jawing and arguing, and then you swung, right?
Yeah, I swung on him.
Okay. And then what happened? Oh.
I got it. Okay, what you mean what happened? He got his jaw wired, and I got fired.
No. Your phone cut out a little bit. I don't know if you're in a bad cell area, so I missed some of that. But
Can you hear me?
Yeah, that's better. So
I'm saying when that happened, I got kicked the fuck out. That's what happened. His jaw got wired, and I got fired. I got kicked the fuck out. So that's when I went to...
Oh, man, I'm losing your phone again.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, there we go. Don't move wherever you are.
Yeah.
Just stay still.
I'm not here. It might be your shit, motherfucker.
I'm on a landline. Although it could be Blog Talk. Blog Talk's the shittiest fucking podcast service. But anyway, okay, so let's skip it. So you get hit in the fucking head with the pool cue.
Yeah.
All right, that's where I'm going. This is the injury we're talking about. So somebody was it Jeff, the quarterback, or was it his buddy, or did you get blindsided?
So what happened was I get kicked out to school.
Uh-huh.
I get kicked out to school. The school is in Marquette, Michigan. I get kicked out to school. Now I'm kicked out to school. And I moved down to Detroit because I started training at a boxing gym with Emmanuel Stewart, you know, and those guys.
Gotcha.
And that's where the incident happened. I was in the pool hall one night, you know, and I'm out, you know, I was in a little bar. I don't drink, don't smoke, never did, never will. But at the time, you know, I'm a young athlete, you know, I'm Detroit, you know, I'm killing myself. I'm training. I'm getting money. I'm at Crown Boxing Gym. I'm with the best fighters in the world. And, you know, I'm on top of the world again. But pool, I was in a pool or fucking shit, you know, shooting pool a little bit. I ain't claiming to be a shark or nothing like that, but I could do my thing. Anyway, I got into an argument with a couple of Spanish dudes and got jumped, and that's what happened then.
Now,
I didn't even know the motherfuckers.
See, that's what's so crazy about this story, and I don't want to spend too much time on it, but it's just fascinating to me because from objective perspective, you're a hot shit young athlete. You got your whole life ahead of you. You're winning fights. You're going to turn pro. And then just one night, and I mean, this is not a pun. I apologize. I don't know another term, but in the blink of an eye, it changes. You're hit. And this injury, what happened, it caused such nerve damage to your eye that you got a floater, which is basically your eye muscles were so weak that you could no longer box. Your boxing career was finished right then.
Yeah. Nerves in the muscle of my eyelid were weak, like you said, and it caused them to just droop. So, I mean, technically, could I get in the ring and box today? Yes. Do I get in the ring and spar around with top fighters? Yes, I do. But to go and box competitively, like, I could do that. I could do that and be triumphant. But it's not going to be smart because you're like a real high-risk fighter. Like, promoters aren't going to want to invest in you. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
it does.
Promoters aren't going to want to invest in you because they see you as a handicapped fighter going in with their one eye. You know what I'm saying?
Is your vision affected?
My vision isn't affecting at all. It's not affected.
So you can see 20/20?
Yeah, I can see good. I can see real good.
Oh, okay. So I heard floater, I mean, I have a little boxing history. I love boxing myself. And floaters, like, that used to always be the death knell for a fighter because you were essentially blind, but you're not blind.
No, I'm not blind. When it happened, I went to the doctor, you know. I got a little surgery done. I was supposed to go back and get lid surgery and shit like that, you know, more like they take away from the liver, try to raise the eye a little bit. But I didn't do that because the doctors was like, I'm like, so it's going to be a chance it can go down again, but we're hitting on it. So, you know, now I look at it as a reminder. That's why it's a bit of It wasn't necessarily something like terrible that happened. It was a blessing because it lets me know where I've been. You know what I'm saying? And not to go back there.
And so the injury happens. The boxing career's done. But you say it reminds you not to go there again. So are you no longer causing trouble? Are you no longer getting in fights with Spanish dudes in bars at this moment? Like, are you instantly changed?
Nah, but I knocked a couple niggas out in 2012. We do. I ain't going to lie.
Okay,
October 2000, well, maybe September, October, one of those months. I was in Jersey, and a friend of mine owns a fucking bar, and he's kicking these guys out. I don't know these guys from a hole in the wall. I do not know them. So I'm talking to my friend outside, and the bouncers are kicking these guys out. So I'm talking to my friend, and the guys that they kicked out go up to my friend, like, hey, what the fuck? You guys kicking us out? What the fuck, man? What the fuck? We didn't do shit. You know, they cursing and whatnot. So I'm like, all right, yeah, I'm about to go inside. So as I go inside, one of the guys said, oh, you going to let this punk motherfucker in there? So I'm like, you know what, fuck it. And then the motherfucker swung on me. Bow. God knows I turn around and hit everybody in sight. And well, no lie, I put this on my life. Three motherfuckers went out. I hit one nigga so hard he fought it. Out. Out.
But after this, you have children. You're slowly turning your life around.
Yeah, I'm slowly turning my life around. I ain't there yet. He's working on me. Working on me. I ain't there yet. Lord is working on me. You know what I'm saying? He got his hand on me. You know, I ain't there yet, though. It's a process. You got to crawl before you walk.
Yeah, I think that's true. So,
my foot is still ready to crawl in the motherfucking ass, is what I'm saying.
Well, I found you from your video, obviously, that was a, you know, viral video, huge smash.
Yes,
it's hilarious.
Sir.
And I want to get there now. So now we've got your history, boxing, you're done boxing. What you do is you get into training. You get a job at a gym and you start training fighters. And that's the next thing you can do as a fighter. If you can't fight,
you train.
So you're still in the sport you love. You still have your hands on it. You can still spar and get around. But now you're a trainer. So this seems like this would be for you a second chance.
Yeah.
Now, the video itself, this is my question to you. When you look at the people you're training, and I'm an editor and I work in television, so I know that not everything in the video is necessarily the whole story. So,
sir.
Are you exclusively training nerdy Jewish guys, or do you actually have like legit competitors?
No,
that you're training?
I'm exclusively training nerdy Jewish guys.
Okay,
I'm exclusively training pieces of shit.
Right.
That's what I'm doing. I tell them, I say, every time I walk in here and got to train you guys, that reminds me that my life took a turn for the fucking worse. Because if my plan A or B would have succeeded, I would not know those motherfuckers. But since I had the results of my C plan, I know those motherfuckers. My life took a turn for the worse.
So now you're stuck.
Yeah.
Training these nerdy. What do you? They're nerds, right? Like, how would you describe them? These guys.
They're nerds. You know, they nerds. They pieces of shit. They don't have no muscles in their fucking body. They're like jellyfish. You know what I mean? Like I just don't get it. You know, one guy got punched and he fell in sections. Like, he didn't even go down. The motherfucker fell in sections. I'm like. You know, I've never seen that like it in my life. There's no way to describe it. I mean, it shows me what a child can go through when a father doesn't take the time.
This is what I want to talk to you about. We're here now. We're in the pocket now because I'm watching this video. I'll just tell you a little bit about myself.
Yeah.
I'm a nerd, like a Jewy nerd, or at least I was. I'd like to think I'm a little reformed because I started
Is this your show?
This is my show, yes.
Okay, yes, you're a Jewish nerd, and I keep going.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm no longer Jewish, so that's a good start. And I'd like
you're
to think
no
I'm a little
Jewish.
Less nerd. No, it's a
why
religion,
fuck
man.
You're no longer Jewish.
Because, okay, well, I don't want to get in this whole debate, but I'll just tell you this way. Like, if you're religious, then you have to practice said religion. You got to go to temple, you got to believe the tenets. If you don't go to temple and you don't believe in anything the religion says, how can you say you're that religion?
You peak game. You said you peak game. You said, I ain't with this bullshit.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah,
and
the
then I met a guy, an older guy,
they
who's a martial artist.
You like the yarmulke or some shit?
No, I don't wear the yarmulke. I don't even
you
have to
like
pay
the yarmulke?
No, I don't do any of that.
Okay.
I don't do
okay.
any of that. So, and then I started to do martial arts. I suck at it. Don't think I'm like going to sit here and say I can handle myself. I'm a total fat loser, uncoordinated guy. But what happened
you
for
like
me
the
is
I, train you. Yeah.
I got into this... You know, this other world. I saw this other world that, you know, I never experienced, much like these guys you're training. You know, like you say, they're cut from cloth. You say they're born on third base in Pleasantville. And, you know, I'm a child of a celebrity, so it's a different upbringing. You're basically pampered. You don't have to fight. You don't have to scrap. And you don't have that fight in you. So as I got older, I started seeking it out. And for me... The man that I am now, I'm 35, when I watch this video, I see these guys coming to you, and they're pampered, they're stockbrokers, they're financially set, but they're not men. They've never been tested, they've never been pushed, and I think the bigger thing I want to talk to you about is, I talk about a lot on this show, that America in general, that kind of guy, guys like you, are an endangered species. They're not being born and they're not being made anymore. And guys right now are total pussies. And I think that's why everything's kind of going to shit. I've been thinking, like,
you know
why
what?
Is everything going to shit? And this is
I
my
love
theory.
That shit. Guys like you are an endangered species. I like that because I'm
it's
not
true.
A motherfucking lie. It's like, I'm so serious. Like the quality, if you look at the quality of man, it's diminished. You know what I'm saying? Like motherfuckers is wearing oversized scarves. And gloves with the fingers cut out. These motherfuckers got on skinny jeans. You know, I look even the rappers. I remember one time where the number one rapper in the world was the scariest motherfucker in the world. Now the number one rapper in the world, guys like Kanye West, they're wearing fucking skirts, literally.
You're absolutely right.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And I'm serious. It's like what the fuck? These guys are like softer than baby shit. Like, I've never seen nothing like it in 33 years of fucking life. Like, dude, I honestly don't know what to say. They're like a bunch of fucking mud pies. These guys are so fucking soft. And these guys are fucking rappers. I mean, guys like Drake and Kanye West, these sensitive bitch-made motherfuckers. They should be kidnapped, raped, and thrown off a roof. I don't like those motherfuckers whatsoever.
I'm in complete agreement with you. So let's go to the gym. When you're training, these are the guys you're training. I mean, not Kanye West, but these are soft guys. When you
know,
talk about a guy going down.
You want to know some funny shit? You want to know some funny
please.
Shit?
Yeah, please. Go ahead.
A guy that I train named Steven Victor, he is good friends with Kanye West because he works for Kanye West. And Steven Victor isn't a fighter. He's just a guy who works in music. He managed musicians like Pusha T, who's a good rapper, you know. So I train Pusha T. I train Steven Victor. And those guys aren't fighters, but they aren't necessarily pussies neither. Kanye West is just a pussy. You know, Kanye West is a pussy.
Absolutely. I mean, the guy shops like 4 or 5 hours a day. That's what he does.
I mean, dude, how do you marry a woman famous for a sex tape? Everybody done had their dick in her. I'm for real. I don't get it, dude. Like, she done had more dick than a pair of boxer briefs. I don't fucking understand.
Well, would you say these guys never had
and
their
he
father?
He glorified this bitch.
No, I'm with you. Well, I want to ask you, like, how do you think we got here? Your philosophy, like, why do you think it's changed? Why are men wearing scarves and the guys you're training going down in sections? What is it you think happened?
It goes back to the parenting. Single mother parents. Let me tell you something. A woman cannot teach a boy to be a man because a woman is not a man, and a man cannot teach a girl to be a woman because a man is not a woman. We can teach them to be successful, yes. They can be heterosexual, yes. But you cannot teach a man to be a man. You are not a man. I cannot teach a girl to be a woman. I am not a woman. You know, it's just they're going against the grain too much. And these guys, I mean, maybe some of them came up with a father figure in their life. You know what I'm saying? But he was a pussy too. Think about it. The apple don't fall too far from the tree. Don't fall too far from the tree. He was a pussy. Listen, he was a pussy too. The daddy wasn't shit. You weren't shit because your daddy wasn't shit. Simple as that. I was raised by pimps and thieves. So I had I'm a fighter. That's what I do. I'm a fighter. I got my name because I knock motherfuckers out. You know, that's what I'm known for. Oh, yeah, you ever cute kid that knock motherfuckers out. Yeah, that's me. You know what I mean? And I got 3 kids and 1 on the way. I got 2 boys and a girl. You know what I mean? And my kids are doing great in school. My kids are not pussies. They're doing great in school. They're great kids. My kids are great kids. I mean, I spend much time with them, you know, take them playing. I'm just in their lives. Although I'm in their lives, I'm not being pussy. I'm not being pussies to them. Not letting them get away with nothing. I got my hand on them. I'm watching you, motherfucker. I'm watching you, motherfucker. You know what time it is. I will clothesline your ass.
Well, I've noticed, this is what I talk about pretty much week to week, and I've noticed like a breakdown in parenting in general. Single parenting is an excellent point, and then, of course, gender roles is an excellent point. How can a man teach a girl to be a girl? I'm with you. I've said all that. But the other thing you talk about is pussies, parents being pussies. And what I think's happened in the last 30 years, I think it's the last 30 years it's gotten bad, is people that are parents, which would be yours and I guess you're my age, our parents, they kind of grew up thinking – they were going to change the world and be more progressive and listen.
Let me
more
tell you what happened.
Feelings.
Let me.
Yeah, you tell me. That's what I want to hear.
Let me tell you what happened. Check
I want to hear my
out.
Shit.
Let me tell you how this shit happened. I'm an old fashioned guy. My dad was born February 18th, 1935. My dad was born in 35. My dad was like my age before black people got their independence.
Right.
I'm about to leave my house and go to my dad's house soon as I get off the phone with your punk ass. So my daddy had his hand on me. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. My daddy had his hand on me. I was raised by a man, construction worker, man. My dad owns, now he owns like a property apartment building. My dad was a man. You know what I'm saying? And my dad threw his foot up my ass anytime he saw fit. But what happened was this. Let me tell you what happened. And this is going to sound crazy. The more women moved up the economical ladder, families suffered. The more women moved up in the ladder, the economical ladder, families suffered. Now I'm going to tell you why.
Please.
The man... We men. We go out, we work, we bring the food home, you know what I'm saying? We bring the money home, and mom take care of the house. You know, she take care of the house, she take care of the family. And now women will jump up and say, oh, just because I'm a woman, I can't do this, I can't do that. Listen, baby, we're not saying you can't do that. I'm not saying you can do that, but we got a family here. Let me tell you something. She can go out and work for some fucking hedge fund. You know what I'm saying? And she get good money doing that. And she can be great at her job. And she can make six figures a year. She's still getting peanuts because the motherfucker she's working for is making 8-9 figures a year. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's good. She can keep, you know, she can make money. That's keeping a roof over the head, and it's great. But none of that is harder than raising a family. Going out and working for Goldman Sachs or whatever, that's great. Congratulations, you're successful. You're getting money. That's whoopty-fucking-do. But that's not harder than raising your family. That's not harder than making sure, getting up every morning, making sure your kids and your husband and everything got food and your kids is nice and clean and going off to school. And when your kids come home from school, helping them with the homework and raising them because the teaching is done at home. School is practice. The teaching is done at home. In every household, the teaching is done in the home. You know, so daddy's out working. That's great. He come home. He break bread with the family. You know, he got money. You know, he got money. You going shopping, getting my money. She got to take care of house. Taking care of house is way more hard than taking care of another motherfucker's business. I don't give a fuck if you're making $100,000 a year. Taking care of house, raising a family, bills paid, food on the table, kids going to school, ironing, mopping, cleaning, doing every fucking thing, taking care of your man, giving him pussy, sucking his dick, whatever the fuck you're doing. Taking care of your family, taking care of your man, your husband. He's going to school, he's going to work, his clothes on, the kids' clothes on, going to school every day. And throughout the day, what you got to do, you cook, you got to clean. You know what I'm saying? You got to do this. Now, the woman going to say, oh, he wants a fucking housewife. Well, baby, guess what? The houses are suffering today because y'all don't want to be a housewife. When the houses suffer, the family suffer. Now you got to worry about your little 14-year-old kid. You buying him, you spend money on the school clothes. He ain't even going to school. He hanging outside with his friends with his pants hanging halfway off his ass. And the money and the clothes that you bust your ass so he can go to fucking school with, so he can look nice in school, he ain't even going to motherfucking school. Your daughter's 16 years old. She's up in the house with some other nigga playing video games, sucking his dick. She pregnant at 16. Keep coming at 16, because who's raising the family?
Here's one of the things that you make an excellent point. By the way, I agree with you 100%. I agree with you. This is how I sound. People get mad at me. They're not going to get mad at you, thank God, because you can kick your ass. But while women are going to work and not staying home with the kids, the guys also have to work because it's two income because the economy sucks. Or the dad is now staying at home, and he's doing that. So my question to you is, when you say it's changing because the woman's not home, you just 10 minutes ago had said that fathers weren't being good fathers, so you have to give... Well, I mean, let me just ask you this straight out. How are the men responsible for this bullshit? Women not home?
Easy, because the nigga ain't being a man. You gotta lead by example. I mean, I know you're smarter than that, motherfucker. You got to lead by example. You got to be a man. Your son, your daughter going to see what the man do. Oh, my dad takes pride in his job. My dad takes pride in his house, his family. He's going out. He's working. He's bringing the money home because this is what he does to his family. He's taking care of his family. This is the pride of ownership. You got to take pride in that. You got to take pride in ownership. You're leading by example. And then on weekends, whatever time you get, you look over your kids' homework, you know what I'm saying? You have your kids read to you, stuff like that. You be good to your woman and everything. On weekends, y'all do whatever. Y'all might go for trips, do this, do that on weekends. That's being a man. That's being a man. My family, let me tell you something. My family got to worry about shit because I'm going to bust my motherfucking ass to get money to put food on their table. They ain't got to worry about shit. We going to be all right. We ain't worried about nothing. We going to be all right. We might not have everything, but we got enough. You know,
so,
we can't be greedy. We ain't trying to keep up with the Joneses.
Right. That's my next
question. My girlfriend now owns her own catering company. She owns a catering company. You know what I do. You know, I'll do training, little television stuff, whatever. And we don't have any kids yet. But I got my three. Mm-hmm. And she's there for my three. If my three needs something, she got it.
You're fine with, because I know people are going to get mad at you. What I'm hearing is you're saying it's fine if a woman wants to work. But, yeah, I know, I don't give a fuck either. But just to be clear, you're saying it's okay for a woman to work. You're not saying women have to stay home. But when it comes time to having a family, you have to be more responsible to your kids than your own selfish desires to have a job.
You got to.
I think everyone.
And even if you want to do something work while the kids is at school, you can do some little work, do that. But home better be taken care of because home is a motherfucking job. Home is more of a job than working for J.P. Morgan and Chase.
I don't hear you saying he just wants a housewife. I hear you saying that you think it's being home and being a housewife or stay-at-home mom is the most important and hardest job. I don't hear you saying like it's just a housewife.
Nah, it's a fucking job. Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
It's a fucking job. Raising a family? Like I said, you can work for Goldman and Sachs. You're making and you're getting good money doing that, but you're making another motherfucker rich.
Right.
Your family, taking care of your family for years and years and years and years. That's the job. That's the hard part. You're raising a family? You mean to tell me working for Goldman Sachs for 20 years is harder than raising a family?
No way. I was teaching before I had kids, and I taught 37 of other people's kids for 6 hours straight, and it is way harder for me to be home with my own being a part of their life.
Like, dude, from cooking to cleaning to laundry to groceries, making sure the bills and everything taken care of.
I couldn't do it. I'll tell you that. If I had to stay home, we'd be broke.
Let me tell you something. Women, I'm gonna tell you something. Women are stronger than men. Men physically, men are stronger. But I'm not talking about physically, spiritually, emotionally. Women are stronger than men. Men can't do what a fucker. We cannot do what a woman can do. Or we will break the fuck down. Men cannot. Let me tell you something. If a man had to do what a man cannot be a fucking housewife.
No.
If a man had to do what a woman had to do, we'd fucking lose it, dude. We can't even cheat and get away with it.
I have not paid one bill on time. Well, I can't even stamp the shit, and I don't even know where the nearest mailbox is.
Dude, let me tell you something.
We'd be dead.
A man can't do what a woman do. But society made it to a point where it's impossible to go back to how it's supposed to be. We went against the grain to the point where we fucked it all up. We don't went against the grain to the point where we in too deep now. It's all fucked up.
Bravo. I mean, that's what I've been feeling. I was trying to pinpoint this these last few years. I'm myself, like, kids are getting suspended for shaping toys like guns, and everyone's suing everybody, and everybody's got a disease, and everyone's fucking medicated.
Let me tell you something. I've never caught the cops. If you caught the cops, you a bitch.
Now you call the cops. They show up. Handle it. Then you sue the cops for discrimination. I mean, it's insane.
Yeah, it's insane. These niggas are softer than baby shit. You know who I blame?
Yes, who?
Really? I gotta blame pop culture. I'm gonna tell you who gets a lot of the blame, especially for the young black community. I put a lot of the blame on Jay-Z. Believe it or not, Jay-Z, I put a lot of the blame on him. And I put some of the blame on Oprah Winfrey. Now, Oprah Winfrey did some great things. She did great things. She built colleges and shit like that. That's amazing. She did great things for people. But she also, she softened these motherfuckers up. She made it promoting this, you know, telling this shit. That's ratting. These niggas promoting ratting. Go talk to someone about it. I mean, stop promoting that motherfucking bullshit.
I want to ask you a question before I forget. Now about your job, when you're training these guys. Now, these guys are stockbrokers, and I think you and I are in a total agreement when you talk about pop culture.
I'm ass broker.
Well, this is the thing. Most people aren't like – I think you and I are have a different opinion on society than most people. I think we're in agreement. Most people think – that the highest thing you can do, especially here in America, this is a capitalistic country, and you know our political, everything political comes down to money and taxes. That's all anyone gives a fuck about. So these guys, these Wall Street guys, by every account for the rest of us on the outside looking in, they've won the game of life. They're making a shit ton of money. They got the cars. They can afford everything. Everybody thinks they're the apex of being a man or a woman that's working in there. And the most fascinating thing I saw in your video, the thing I really want to talk to you about, because we're running out of time, that's why I'm speeding up, is I see you talking to these guys, and they come to you, and you can see it in this video that they don't feel good about it. They don't feel like they're men. They don't feel pleased. They have money. They got everything we all think is all you need, and they're there at the top, and they're looking around, and they're like, this is it? Money doesn't buy
shit.
That's why
they come to me. That's why
right.
they come to me. Father, let me tell you something. When they was growing up, their father never had that conversation with them. Their father said, well, son, you know what? You're 19 years old, and you've never been in a fight in your life.
Right.
You've never had to protect yourself. You're 19. You're a freshman, sophomore in college, whatever. You've never been in a fight. You've never had to protect yourself in combat. So how do you know what you're made out of? Son,
right.
you might be a pussy. You might be a pussy. You don't even know. You've never had to protect yourself. And like, how do you know what you're going to do when you're faced with that challenge? You, there's a good chance that you might be a pussy.
Right.
How do you know? Jake, have you ever been in a fight? Don't lie
no.
to me.
No, I have not been in a fight.
Jake, you might be a pussy.
I might be a pussy, absolutely. I think I probably
see,
am.
Don't make a joke out of it, motherfucker. Cause this is
no,
not
I'm saying, I really
at.
Think
like,
I might be
listen,
a pussy.
Listen, this is a crisis. This isn't something to laugh at. This is something to hold your head over at. Hold your head down at this. A motherfucker walk up to you, push on you, say you out with your woman, and the motherfucker start grabbing on your woman, grabbing her hand while you with her. What are you going to do?
That's the million-dollar question. Let me say for first, I'm not taking this lightly. I don't think this is a joking matter.
She might have to fight for her and you, too.
Well, I put it this way. I would love to answer, I'm going to fucking kick him in the head, and I'm going to do a spinning Jackie Chan shit, but I don't know, Eric. I don't know.
You might be a pussy.
I might. That's the truth. Yeah.
He probably
is.
I think he is.
I mean, you just say what the fuck you want to get. Y'all can call me all kinds of assholes in the world. I don't give two dead flies in a bowl of milk. This is the life we live in. Let me tell you something. And I'm not saying this to talk shit about nobody. Now, let me tell you something. You live in the world.
Right.
And in the world, a lot of crazy shit happens. You never know when you're going to be faced with a challenge. Do you think on September 11, 2001, those people went to work and they were sitting in their cubicle. And did you think they thought on the 80th floor a fucking 747 was going to fly through their motherfucking window?
Well, the Bushes thought that because they planned it.
Yeah,
but, no,
but keep it real. Keep it real. You know, and now you got a whole bunch of catastrophe going on upstairs, downstairs, all over.
Yeah.
I mean, people are faced with challenges in life. Some people just walking down the street and someone just jumps on them. Just bow, like just jump on them out of nowhere. Like you never know. Like they got these little dumb kids playing this little knockout game, running around, tapping people, punching them in the face. I mean, you never know what's gonna happen. You never know what's gonna. It's like knowing how to fight, knowing how to protect yourself. It's like fucking insurance. Do you have insurance on yourself?
Oh yeah.
Do you have insurance on yourself?
Yes.
So knowing how to fight in life, knowing how to fight, protect yourself. That's like insurance,
right?
Because it's like, okay, I'm secure there. You know, I can throw my hands. If somebody try to jump on me, I can protect myself. I'm secure. I'm not saying you're gonna win every motherfucking fight, but you can fight. You can defend yourself,
or at least do something.
You can defend.
The worst would
be do something.
I saw this study, Eric.
You know what about pride? Like pride is taking a real ass whooping these days. Pride is taking a real, because no one has it.
They don't, because and this is the heart of it. When you and I are talking about, hey, you might be a pussy, can you defend yourself? A lot of people don't understand just how important that question truly, truly is in somebody's
it's
life.
It's really
something
important. Like they're thinking about it, fighting, I'm not. They're thinking about it like, oh, fighting, I'm not fighting. Dude, I'm not saying you got to go out there and start a fight, but you never know what can happen. You never know. You never fucking know. You look both ways crossing the street because a car might knock your ass up the fucking block. You never know what can happen. You never know. Be able to protect yourself. You a man, you got a woman, you going out on a date, you got a family. Well, you got a family, you got your woman, y'all out in the park, you take your kid out to the park. Next thing you know, your kid is playing with some other kid, and kids are stupid. They're little dumb motherfuckers. Now the little kids start fighting. So what happens? The parents start fighting. Now you don't let some other guy fuck you up in front of your son.
Right.
Now your son's supposed to look at you, and you're a man, but he just saw you got your ass whipped? No. 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 How would you feel if you saw your daddy get his ass whooped?
No,
you ever
be horrible.
Saw your daddy get his ass whooped?
No. I never did.
Have
but
you
it
ever saw
horrible.
Somebody break? Have you ever saw somebody break their foot off in your daddy's ass?
No.
How would that make you feel if that happened?
It'd be horrible, of crushing,
horrible.
Especially young. Now it'd be different because he's older and fatter and stuff.
Look,
but as
look,
a kid,
go
no,
on.
That would have been
listen,
bad.
Go, listen, learn how to take care of yourself. That's all I'm saying. Learn
so
how
these
to take
guys,
care of yourself.
In this video, let's keep going with this video. When these guys come to your training, now your style with them is. You're honest. You're fucking brutally honest. You don't pull punches. You're not the kind of coach that would be like, or the trainer, I'm sorry, that'd be like, hey, that's good. Let's try this again. I mean, in the video, you're laughing at these guys, how they uppercut and punch. You're making fun of them in where they can hear you to their face.
All the coaches that like the coaches that you describe, I knock them out. I knock them out.
Right. So you're old school. You're traditional.
Yeah.
So these guys, one of the things I saw in the comment section of your videos was women, oddly enough, that were watching it, that were saying these stockbroker guys were basically using you like a dominatrix. Like they felt
the
so
women.
Guilty. It was one thread I saw. But it could have been a guy with a woman's name. Who knows? But it was something I kind of sniffed out. And I was like, this is kind of an interesting theory. They thought these Wall Street stockbroker types were coming to you because they felt so shitty and so guilty about basically screwing us over with the bailouts and destroying the economy and then, you know, retiring rich, that they come to you and you sort of help them deal with their guilt. Do you think there's any truth to that?
Say that again.
Do you think these guys that come to you, and like I said, you're brutal. Your style is brutal. Like, they don't go to you to get encouraged positively. They go there because you tell them the truth, like you suck, you laugh at them, and they keep coming. Do you think there's a part of them that enjoys the abuse in some sick way?
Because it's not even in a sick way. Like some of them enjoy it, But they don't enjoy it in the sick way. They
right.
enjoy it in a real way. Because let me tell you something. No matter who you is, you got to respect and appreciate the truth. You
yeah.
got to respect the truth. So you enjoy, it might not be music to your ears. What you want to hear is bittersweet, but it's the fucking truth. If you don't enjoy hearing the truth, then something is wrong with you. You the sick one. If you don't enjoy hearing the truth, then you the sick one.
I got nothing to say to that. I think that's prophetic.
Of course you don't. Of course you don't, because it's real. Of course you don't got nothing to say to it. You can't have nothing to say to realness.
That's true. It's the first time I've been speechless. So,
I think Jake's scared. He sounds a little frightened.
No. You want to know what I'm really thinking? Like, if we're going to tell the truth? I feel like knowing, Eric, that you're out there, that there's people like you still out there.
I'm the only one. No, stop. You're fucking up. I'm the only one.
Okay, you're the last bad.
I'm the
you're
only
the great
one.
Black
I'm,
hope. You're the last hope listen, for this planet.
No,
I mean,
listen, I'm the only one. I'm the last of a dead breed.
That is
not dying breed. I'm the last of a dead breed.
Do you think we can get it back? Do you think that society can move forward where men can be
not
men
not
to
lifetime.
Test their metal?
Not in our lifetime. You know, we done went through the ice age, the prehistoric age. Now we're in this age. I'm the last of this age.
If it's done.
I'm not the last. How old are you?
35.
All right, you older than me. If I'm not the last of this age, then tell me who the fuck is.
Well, you got two boys. So I'm hoping you raise them properly. Keep whipping their ass.
The apple don't fall too far from the tree, so we'll see what happens. But I ain't gonna front. My boys got some big shoes to fill. them little motherfuckers got. I hope so, but they ain't growing up in the world that I grew up in. I grew up in Brooklyn in the 80s.
Yeah.
You know, we was killing motherfuckers. Like, the high school I went to was the first school in the country to have metal detectors because they back in, like, 92 or some shit, they had shot some motherfuckers up and killed a couple motherfuckers in the school. I started going to the high school 3 years later in 95. You know what I'm saying? They got a police station in my school. They threw the principal off the roof and killed that motherfucker.
Well, I will tell you.
So my kids is not wrong.
That is very much... That's very much happening today, actually, the school shootings. Your kids...
Yeah, it's happening today. It's happening today, but it's happening in pussy schools with pussy motherfuckers, like Columbine.
Yeah.
It's happening.
So,
it's happening, but in soft-ass schools.
When you say soft-ass schools, what do you mean? You mean that they're doing it... They have classes around the kids' feelings and tell them to, like,
One motherfucker wasn't soft. One motherfucker said, fuck it, I'm going to get these motherfuckers. I'm tired of them fucking with me. You know what I'm saying? And really, they shooting them motherfucking schools and shit. But the motherfuckers shooting in those schools was getting bullied. You know what I'm saying? And being exiled. The motherfuckers shooting in my school was shooting because That's gang violence. It's two different scenarios. You know what I'm saying? One motherfucker shooting because that's what the fuck he do. He ain't the only motherfucker they shot. This is the first time he got caught. You don't know about the nigga that didn't get caught. You don't know about the motherfucker until he get caught. You think the first time he shot a motherfucker in the school? No. Bullshit. That's the first time he got caught.
These kids that shoot up schools these days, because it's happening now, you say they got bullied, are they pussies that they got bullied and then went and killed everyone? Like, if they weren't pussies, if they weren't raised to be pussies, you think they'd have been able to handle it better?
They'd be able to handle it a little better. You're going to go in and take people's lives, take everybody's life, because someone making fun of your fucking clothes and, you know what I'm saying, shit like that, and you're going to go take everybody's life, you know? I mean, you little no pussy getting motherfucker. And I'm like this: if they would have got some pussy, like an hour before they killed those kids, or the night before they went to school, They wouldn't even thought about no motherfucking gun. You ain't got time for that bullshit. You get some pussy, you want to just veg out and chill, like, ah, damn, you know what I'm saying? Like, oh, shit, baby, let's do that again. You want to go get something to eat, you know what I'm saying? You want to get some food or something. You don't want to go pulling out no AK-47 and doing some, and doing some Resident Evil shit on a motherfucking school.
So here's what happened. Here, we figured it out, Eric. These kids are pussies. The dads are gone. The moms aren't staying home to take care of it. These kids are fucking total pussies. And because they're pussies, none of the women want to fuck them. So now they're not getting pussy either, and they're pussies. And they get bullied, and they're snapping. So the absence of strong men has caused the school shootings. Yes?
Am I right or wrong? Am I right or wrong?
No, you... Jen thinks I'm scared. I'm in awe. I want to high-five you so bad right now. I think you and I are from the same planet. I've been saying this forever, and I think it's true. I think it's absolutely true. I think these kids are being raised today wrong. They're not taught right from wrong. They're not taught pride. Yeah. They're not taught respect, and they're fucking medicated because they act out because they're pissed that their mom and dad suck.
We are the most overly medicated country in the fucking world.
Yeah.
We are the most... And you know what? It goes back to what I said earlier. Because it starts in the household. The families are not strong anymore.
Right. Amen. I mean, I got nothing more to say. I've been saying this for years, and I'm so happy. I'm so happy you're as smart as I am. That's all I got to say.
I'm the best nigga you ever interviewed.
I have to agree, by far.
This let me tell you something. This is your it right here, motherfucker.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were going to say more. I agree. Now you see why I'm so excited to talk to you.
Look, listen, I don't say what's politically correct. I don't say what you want to hear. I say what the fuck you need to hear.
Can I borrow that line from my Twitter bio?
And this is, you better quote me. If you don't quote me, I'm going to fuck you up. This is what motherfuckers
now
need to hear. This is it. This is the truth.
No, I agree with you. I totally agree with you. I think... The every problem can be traced, like, this is what I say, Eric, this is my philosophy. Everything comes down to responsibility and people not wanting to take personal responsibility. And by that, specifically, I'm talking about parents. Parents don't want to take responsibility for how they fuck their kids up anymore. It died. Yeah. It used to be the thing, like, you would think, what I put in this kid, what I teach this kid, I would prepare him. Now parents, people having kids, they don't give a shit. They don't even think. They think the kids are born a certain way. Their brains are wired a certain way. If they're not acting normal, it's because their brains are wired wrong and they need more medication. And there's no more parents thinking about what's best for the kid. What they're thinking about is what's best for them. And the kid is just an accoutrement or a fucking handbag or something to do on the weekends. And that's why.
And the parents are lazy, sorry, piece of shit. And the parents don't want to be seen as weird and strict and hard. And the parents don't want the kid. You know, kids is talking. They're going to talk to other people. The parents don't want the kid to go out talking about it because the parent is worried about what everybody else is thinking. The parent is worried about their image. But they aren't worried about the life of their fucking child.
Right. You're absolutely right. I could talk to you for hours, man, but I have to wrap this up. The show's coming to an end. Let me just ask you this. If I ever came to New York, would you train me?
I'd knock you the fuck out. I'd knock you
the
fuck out.
Oh, my gosh. Please, yes.
Don't do that because everyone wants you to do that. Okay, you know what? I'll let you know if that helps. I was going to say, would you train me just one time?
Jake, come through. Let me know. Come through. I got you. You're my man. I appreciate y'all putting me on. I appreciate y'all taking your time out and having me on your show. Follow me on Twitter, @EricKelly. @EricKellyLife on Instagram. And we got so much shit we're working on, you know, with TV and other things. So just pray for me, man. Like, I mean, just pray for me. Right now, I'm in a funny predicament. You know, I got pretty good agency and everything behind me and whatnot. But like, just pray for me. You know what I'm saying? I'm new to the shit, but I want to succeed. You know, I want to be that man. I want to be that man that my kids need. You know, I'm a good father, but I ain't gonna sit here and frighten out like my shit don't stink. Cause I'm not the best. You know, I could do more. I could do more. I could fucking do more. And I'm there for my kids, and my kids are hungry, anything. But I could do more. You know, I'm not the best. I got my little selfish fucking moments, and I'm human too. You know what I mean? So like, I just want to be a better me, dude. You know, I just want to be a better me. I want to try to be everything that's right in the world as much as I can. No one's perfect, but I want to be as much as I can.
That's really all you can do, and I am praying for you. And I really got to give you a piece of advice because I've been on the other side of celebrity. You know, I saw my mom go from obscure housewife to, you know, mega celeb. And there, P. Diddy gave you the same advice that I'm going to, but it's true. They're going to try and make you a gimmick. They're going to try and have you read lines. They're going to talk about packaging and marketing and branding. It's all bullshit. You know better than every person you're going to meet in the next 6-7 months. All these agencies, all these people are going to come in and talk about their pedigree and how they've made money. They're fucking idiots. They don't know shit. They've been sucking their dick their way up there, too. They have no concept. Be yourself every step of the way, and you'll be fine.
God bless you. I appreciate you, brother. I appreciate that so much. Thank you guys so much. I appreciate you for having me. And just pray for me, man. Just
I will. Thank you, Eric.
Yes.
Thanks so much, Eric. I'll send you some pics soon for payment.
Yeah, some pics. Yeah, I just want to say, because we are going to wrap up, I don't know that I'll get to news, Jen. We can push it. I wanted to speed that up at one point, but I found the man so fascinating that I'd rather just sit and talk to him. I have seen something. At the end, when he was talking about wanting to be a better man and a better dad, he was taking responsibility. Did you hear that?
Oh, yeah, that he's not perfect, and every one of us, I wanted to interrupt him a million times because he had so many good points, but that we all can be better, and he just wants to be the best dad, best person, best
and
everything.
There's a link I've found. This is my opinion. I'm not saying this is true. Kids that had parents put their foot up their ass, they seem to grow up to be the kind of adults that do think, they do seem to take responsibility better than the kids that are coddled. I'm sure if there was a study done by a clinical psychologist, you would see the link of the kids that were beat. And I don't mean to say beat, but kids that were disciplined sternly, I think that's where that comes from, that need to take responsibility.
Well, and like you said, his dad had his hand on him, and I heard a million things in that one statement, which was,
right.
Physically, he had control, but, you know, he really had his hand involved in him. Like, he was very a participant in his life, which I don't think happens very often.
Certainly
but there's
not.
People like, I don't know about your life, but mine, you don't have those things. I did not have discipline. I wasn't coddled. You call it neglect. But I want those things for my kids because I know it's what I needed. So I don't
Well,
settle.
In your case, I mean, you... When your parents started failing you, you were shipped off into a mental hospital as a teenager. So that's its own form of stern discipline. I would say that's pretty stern discipline. And what I'm trying to get at is, and again, I'm just forming this theory as I speak, so pardon me if I seem confusing. I go on every week talking about how people need to take responsibility, and I get angry about it. And I'm thinking now that maybe taking responsibility is not innate. It's not something natural to the human. Like, it has to be beaten into you, so to speak. Because it doesn't seem to be the natural course that we take as people. If you just look around the world nowadays, it's not people's first thought to go, how did I get here? What did I do to get me here? The rest of us are saying, somebody else put me here. I'm getting fucked over by this person. And we blame more. And we think more, and I'm wondering if maybe that sense that Eric has, or other guys that are cut from that cloth, or you because you were shipped off, or me because I was shipped off, like maybe when life gets hard when you're a kid and things are taken away or you're punished, you start to form this wiring in your brain that, hey, my decisions can lead to bad shit happening. And maybe that is a good thing. Maybe that's what's missing. I don't know. Anyway, something to think about. That's our
it
show.
Is.
Yeah. I love that man. I love that fucking man so much. I laughed so hard, and I'm going to try and get him back on again. There's so much more I wanted to get to. I encourage everyone to go follow him.
I'd want to have drinks with, like he'd be a good time. Well, not hard alcohol, but just, you know.
No, but you get the sense, like, there are still there's still pockets of people that will just say what they think. That, like, mm-hmm. when he was talking about women leaving the house, even though I've said the same thing week in and week out, like, I got nervous for him. My instincts started coming, oh, God, he's going to have to deal with it. And, like, and I started paying attention to that I was doing that. I was like, that's kind of strange that I would freak out for somebody else. Because we're so conditioned now to be told that we're constantly racist or prejudiced or bullying or, like, it's all in us constantly that I started to get worried for this guy. And he didn't say anything that bad. In fact, he was
probably
more complimentary.
Well, because sometimes people interpret what he said as your place is in the kitchen. That's what some people interpret. Where I'm hearing, he thinks it is the most important job, and it's the reason that families are failing right now, or children are.
And
so
I
hear
that.
It as a compliment, like how important our role is for being involved with our children that way.
I agree, and that's the last point here, is that that's right there is a microcosm of what happens. Somebody that's deep and thoughtful like Eric, that thinks things through, doesn't bullshit, will say, I have the utmost respect for what I feel is best suited job for a woman, and he'll be completely complimentary. And yet none of that will be heard by most people. What will be heard is, you belong in the kitchen. And then the audience and the people that will react to that will then attack his character. And the entire point of what he said will never be heard. And that happens thousands of times a day in all of our lives and on a national level. And right there you can kind of see, like, if you just calm and listen to another person, what they're saying, and don't react, we can have some really good conversations in this country. I feel positive for the first time in a long time. But it's probably because I'm on antidepressants now.
Are you
all right? I stole some of my mom. I'm going to go. That was welcome back. I thought it was a great show. We'll get to the other news next week about the thank you for the applause, everybody, about the SeaWorld and that dental hygienist. I think next week we'll do some more news. Who's our guest next week?
Next week we have Jay Rodriguez.
Hi, mm-hmm. I think it is. Hi, Rodriguez. Eli, is it Jay or
Jai? I've heard him.
Who?
It's spelled Jai, but
from Queer Eye from the Straight Guy. Only on the Jake Pentland Show do we go from Eric Kelly to one of the Queer Eye from the Straight Guy guys. He was the smaller one.
I thought
it
was
Jay,
but it looks spelled Jai. But
maybe
I don't
it
know.
Is Jay. Anyway. All right. Well, thank you, everybody. Lots to think about. I mean, whether you agree with Eric or not, or me or not, one thing's for sure. He's not afraid to speak his mind, and I believe he's doing a good service because those, if you check out that video, those guys he's training, that's the only semblance of manhood they're ever going to see in their life, and I think he's doing a God's work for these people. All right. Well, thank you, everybody. Have a good week. I'll see you next week. Thanks, Jen. Thank you, Eli.
See you next week.
All right.